Well, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're here, and thank you for coming. We're going to begin a new study tonight, a very interesting book in the Scriptures. And we'll not be looking at a text proper tonight. We'll look at a couple of them, but we'll introduce the book. So before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word and your precious people. We realize, Lord, that you've given us these books of the Bible for our benefit. It's certainly not for yours. And I would pray, Lord, that we would glean what you would want us to glean as we work our way through this very unique book that you've inspired. And I pray you'd bless our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an interesting statement in Hebrews 11:25 that says Moses chose to endure ill treatment rather than the passing pleasures of sin. And that is so rare because most people, if given the opportunity to choose what's right and righteous versus sin, would choose sin. In fact, most people view sin as a pleasurable, fun experience, and for a moment it may seem that way. It can be very luring and it can be very enticing, and most people really don't take sin very seriously. Most, frankly, don't take God seriously. They think that sin is just a pleasure choice lifestyle. Even some of God's own people tend to view it that way. They get loose in their thinking. What people don't realize is sin will end up leaving one depressed. It will end up leaving one dry and miserable and barren and crushed. In fact, it's very, very clear when you go through the Word of God that sin is never the road to happiness, especially for the people of God. It is never the road to happiness. There's a book of the Bible that's totally given over to showing that. It's given over to showing God's people this very point. It's the book of Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is clearly a book that shows God's people that sin will not lead them to happiness. It will lead them to a lonely, empty, afflicted, lamenting, and wailing life. Sin will kill one's spiritual life and turn that life into a funeral song. Sin will always lead God's people to catastrophe, and if God's people abandon God, and if they abandon His word, they're going to be hit with tragedy. This is what this book of Lamentations is telling us. You abandon God, abandon His word, you're going to get hit with tragedy from the hand of God. Dr. Chuck Swindoll said, Lamentations is a mute reminder that sin, in spite of all of its allurement and excitement, carries misery, barrenness, and pain. It's the other side of the eat, drink, and be merry coin. So in the next weeks, we would like to take you on a journey through this book of Lamentations. And to introduce it to you tonight, we're going to ask and answer seven questions. Number one, why study it? We'll give you five reasons for studying it. First of all, it's one of only 66 inspired biblical books that God has given to man, and that's the only reason we need to study any book of the Bible. In his introduction to the Old Testament, Paul Benware made an interesting statement, a significant statement. A person will never properly understand the New Testament scriptures if the Old Testament scriptures remain a mystery to him. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians that Paul says these Old Testament scriptures are critical to our development. They're critical to our lives. And to this, we would say a person is never going to understand real spirituality if the Old Testament is not properly studied. Now, the book that follows Jeremiah in our English Bibles and in the Greek Septuagint and also in the Latin Vulgate is the book known as Lamentations. The actual name Lamentations comes from the Talmud, a Hebrew word kenoth. The Septuagint uses a name for this book, which is called Wailing. It sits between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, two of the major prophetic books. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, Lamentations doesn't appear as a prophetic book listing, but as one of the writing books, the Hagiographa in Greek and the Ketubim in Hebrew. And it is grouped with Ruth, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. In fact, it sits between Ruth and Ecclesiastes. And the Ketubim is a division of the Hebrew Bible, and the writings is broken down into four sections, and Lamentations is one of those particular books that shows up there in the Hebrew text. There are literally thousands of manuscripts in existence, and Lamentations was a book preserved and found in Qumran Cave number 4 in the Dead Sea Scroll discovery in 1952. These manuscripts date back to the 3rd century BC. The Greek Septuagint, written from 285 to 246 BC, contains the Book of Lamentations, and the Masoretic Hebrew vowel-pointed text as well is well-preserved. Dr. Norman Geisler and William Nix said, "The thousands of Hebrew manuscripts with their confirmation by the Septuagint, which is the LXX, and the Samaritan Pentateuch, and the numerous other cross-checks from outside and inside the text provide overwhelming support for the reliability of the Old Testament text. Hence, it is appropriate to conclude with Sir Frederick Kenyon's statement, the Christian can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear or hesitation that he holds in it the true word of God handed down without essential loss from generation to generation throughout the centuries." So because it's one of God's inspired books, we're going to study it. Now, a second reason we're going to study it is because Lamentations is a book of the Bible that is rarely, if ever, studied and expounded in the church. In fact, one commentator said, Lamentations is probably the most orphaned book of the Scriptures because hardly anyone studies it. In fact, it's rarely taught and studied in theological institutions. Now, one would think that if there's one book of the Bible that is designed to show the misery of what God will cause to happen to his own people, if they're not faithful to him, that every believer would want to know that. You would think every believer would want to know a book, they'd want to know every word, sentence, clause, and paragraph, so they wouldn't get the kind of trouble the Lamentation says you can get in. But that's not the case. Frankly, the book is often neglected and often avoided. I mean, who wants to read a bunch of funeral laments that mourn the fact that God has leveled his own people and punished his own people because they would not turn from their sin? I mean, who really wants to read that kind of thing? Who wants to read and study a book that shows the devastation and the consequences and the anguish that sin will cause? Lamentations is certainly not a feel-good book to study, so most don't study it, which is the reason we're going to study it. And, you know, what I think has been missed in the church when a book like Lamentations has been neglected is the fact that God's people need to be very sensitive to sin and they need to repent of the sin. They need to confess the sin. If they're going to have fellowship with God, they need a fresh beginning in a relationship with God. Now, most times, churches spend the majority of their time focusing on the good news of grace. And there's certainly a place for doing that. But a book like Lamentations says you better also focus on the bad news. And the bad news is, if a believer is not going to face things and deal honestly with things, they are going to experience the judgment of God. That's exactly what Lamentations is designed to communicate to the people of God. And so it's a tragedy that this book is not studied because God's people are missing out on information they truly need. Now, a third reason we're going to study it is because Lamentations is a book that shows how God actually feels when his people sin. I don't think God's people think much about the fact that sin hurts God, but it sure does. When God's people turn away from God's word, and when they start trusting other things other than him, it breaks his heart. I'll tell you this, God does not enjoy punishing his own people. He doesn't get up in the morning and say, oh, I can't wait to just knock that child of mine down. That's not the mindset of God. But if they're not interested in obeying him and facing things and being truthful before him, that's exactly what he's going to do. And I hope we get to the point when we go through this that we'll be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that when we fail God, it will break our heart because we realize we've broken the heart of God. This book will communicate that as we work our way through it. A fourth reason we're going to study it is because Lamentations is a book that does reveal there are devastating consequences to sin. Now, this book explains one reason why God causes his own people to suffer. This book explains why some people are hit hard by God. I mean, it gives a clear explanation for it in this book. Sin is not a light matter in the life of God. It's not a light matter in the life of a believer. And if a believer chooses, a child of God chooses to pursue sin, it will bring devastating consequences. Lamentations is a book you can't dodge over this that says God does punish his people. if they don't turn from their sin. He will punish his people. People may get away with it for a short time, but it'll be a short time. And then sooner or later, God's going to hit them. And he will hit them hard. He'll hit them with devastating calamity. For a believer to persist in sin is to play a very dangerous game of Russian roulette. So if a believer is just living a delusional fog lie that they're right with God when they know they're not right with God and they know they're pursuing sin, they're playing a very dangerous game, and Lamentations makes that very clear. Now the fifth reason we're going to study it is because Lamentations is a book that shows how we need to respond if God chastises us for our sin. There is hope for a believer who is even under the chastising hand of God, in the midst of devastating chastisements, in the midst of devastating judgments that God has leveled against his own people, he always, always gives his people the option, turn to me, get right with me, and there'll be renewal and restoration. I want to show you just a couple of verses from chapter 3 of Lamentations. Dr. Thomas Constable said he felt, chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 were the key verses of the whole book. But in chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Then I want you also to drop down to verse 40 of the same chapter. Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. There's the invitation. The invitation is God has just hammered his people with devastating consequences for their sin, but he invites them, why don't you turn to me? Why don't you get right with me again? Let's begin this relationship and get it going. And that's exactly what the book of Lamentations prompts people to do. So we're going to study it. Now, the second question is, what is Lamentations? Well, Lamentations is what one writer said, an emotional outburst book that shows the great sorrow over the fact that Jerusalem was destroyed because she wouldn't, as a nation, Israel would not turn from sin. Just when we went through Jeremiah, we saw Jeremiah contain warnings that literal judgment would come. Lamentations contains mournings that literal judgment did come. It was a national judgment. A national judgment against the nation Israel and against the property of God. And naturally, individuals are that which comprises nations, so a national judgment becomes an individual judgment. Now, what I think is interesting is that every year in synagogues on the fifth Hebrew month, the book is read to commemorate the anniversary of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. They read this book of Lamentations. Even today, Orthodox Jews pray at Jerusalem's western Wailing Wall and often cite things from Lamentations. And that just seems so odd to me. Because I'm thinking through that and I'm going, now wait a minute. This book is about God punishing you Jewish people because you haven't been faithful to God and you still aren't faithful to God. So you still haven't learned the lesson that is being communicated to you by the book of Lamentations. And yet they just go through the motions, the ritual of reading it. I hope that doesn't happen to us, where this just becomes a ritual that we go through a book of the Bible and it never phases us. Lamentations is a series of five lamentation funeral wailings in which the prophet Jeremiah describes and mourns over the fact that Jerusalem was completely destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 to 586 BC. The description of what happened is given here by an eyewitness who was actually there. He saw it happen and he records it. Which brings us to the third question, who wrote Lamentations? Well, there's no place in the book where it specifically says who the author actually was, but many assume it was written by Jeremiah because it was closely related to the events that were described by Jeremiah. In fact, all Jewish tradition says that Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and the early church fathers also said Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. And we would not say that Lamentations is an exact sequel to Jeremiah. It's more of a response to what happened and what Jeremiah predicted. But I think we're on safe ground to say Jeremiah wrote Lamentations for six reasons. Number one, it was written by some eyewitness guy who saw it. Look at chapter 3, verse 1, as long as you're open there. I am the man who has seen the affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He saw it. back up to chapter 2 and look at verse 6. And he had violently treated his tabernacle like a garden booth. He destroyed his appointed meeting place. The Lord has caused it to be forgotten, the appointed feast and Sabbath in Zion. And he's despised the king and priests in the indignation of his anger. I mean, whoever wrote this book was right there and saw these things go down. And the descriptions that he gives in this book of what he saw happen are vivid and they're alive. So the one writing it, he saw it. Secondly, the introduction to Lamentations in the Greek Septuagint says that after Jerusalem was destroyed, Jeremiah sat weeping and lamenting, and this was his lamentation. So the preface to the book of Lamentations in the Greek Septuagint has become a major reason many have concluded Jeremiah wrote the book. In fact, the Septuagint titles the book Lamentations Jeremiah Threnoi Ihiremias. So in other words, it's giving a statement here of being a book of Jeremiah. A third reason why we believe Jeremiah wrote it is because of what we read in 2 Chronicles 35:25. I'd like you to go back there. 2 Chronicles 35:25. I want you to see that because this clearly connects Jeremiah to Lamentations. In 2 Chronicles 35:25, here's what we read. Then Jeremiah chanted a lament for Josiah, and all the male and female singers speak about Josiah in their lamentations to this day. And they made them an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are also written in Lamentations. Jeremiah chanted a lament, and they're written in Lamentations. I mean, that's pretty clear. The Greek Septuagint and Latin Vulgate did not just invent some novel idea that Jeremiah wrote it. I mean, they based their fact on 2 Chronicles 35:25 that says he wrote it. Now, Lamentations does not actually record a lament concerning Josiah, but it certainly is connected to Jeremiah in presenting Lamentations. Now, the fourth reason why we believe Lamentations is written by Jeremiah is there are similarities in vocabulary and tone of the book between Jeremiah and Lamentations. If we compare passages, you'll see there's a distinct connection. For example, Lamentations 1:2, Jeremiah 30:14, talk about the fact that all of the lovers have forsaken her. In Lamentations 1, the next one should be Lamentations 1:16 and 2:11, and Jeremiah 9:1 and 18, my eyes were filled with tears. My eyes were filled with tears. In Lamentations 2:20, 4:10 and Jeremiah 19:9, we read that women were eating their offspring. I mean, that's something that Jeremiah said was going to happen. And in Lamentations 4:21 and Jeremiah 49:12, they would drink from the cup. So those are Jeremiah type of statements that would indicate that Lamentations was written by the same guy who wrote Jeremiah, which of course was Jeremiah. The fifth reason why we believe that Jeremiah wrote the book is because the Latin Vulgate says that Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. The Latin Vulgate was the first translation of the Old Testament into Latin around 83-82, and it says this book was written by Jeremiah. And the sixth reason why we believe that Jeremiah wrote it is nobody even questioned this until you get this really weird German theologian named Hermann von der Hart. He said, I don't think Jeremiah wrote it, and he just made stuff up that he thought that one chapter was written by Daniel, another by Shadrach, another by Meshach, another by Abednego, and then one by King Jehoiachin, and many theologians just thought he was kind of a goofball and just totally disregarded him. So I think we're on safe ground to say Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and that's what we think. Now, the fourth question is, when was Lamentations written? Lamentations is a raw book. It's filled with raw emotion over what had happened to Jerusalem. The author saw it. The author was emotionally moved by it, and therefore we know that this book was written in close proximity to the destruction of Jerusalem, which would have been 587 to 586 BC. The events in the book were certainly vivid in the writer's mind. He had seen it. He had lived it. He was able to graphically describe it. He knew what the city had looked like before it was destroyed, and he was looking at it after it had been destroyed. So we would say that it was written somewhere around that particular time period. Now, the fifth question is, what is unique about the structure of Lamentations? And this is unique. As we've mentioned, Lamentations is a very emotional book, but it is also a very systematic book. Lamentations is very systematically structured. In fact, as one scholar observed, Lamentations is one of the most highly crafted of all biblical books. The Hebrew poetry developed in a complex acrostic pattern. The book is comprised of 5 chapters, and each chapter is a lament or poem. Now, each chapter is written as an alphabetical acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. In other words, and I'm going to show you as we go through this, as we, like next week when we're in chapter 1, I'll show you exactly where this is. But each chapter, except one, contains 22 verses, and each of those 22 verses begins with a successive letter of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, the Hebrew alphabet contains 22 letters: Aleph, Beth, Gamil, Daleth, He, Waw, Zayin, Het, Tet, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samek, Ayin, Pei, Tsade, Kaf, Resh, Sin, and Tau. Those are your 22 letters. So each verse in chapters 1 to 2 and each verse in chapters 4 to 5 begins with a word that is a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and every one of those chapters starts with Aleph and ends with Tau. When you get to chapter 3, every third verse begins with a successive letter that starts with Aleph and ends with Tau. So in chapter 1, what you have is you have 22 verses, and each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 2, you have 22 verses, and each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3, you have 66 verses, and each third verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So in chapter 3, we find 22 three-verse clauses that are also successive. In chapter 4, you've got 22 verses, and each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the same in chapter 5. You have 22 verses, each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, there have been many explanations as to why this structure. What is going on here? Because you don't find a book like this. I mean, Psalm 119 is the thing that comes closest to it in working through the Hebrew alphabet, and each chapter is complete in itself. But the one thing that we see from this is that God's word was systematically written, and God's word is to be systematically studied. And if we put this in the context of the book of Lamentations, Lamentations is a very emotional book. And if there's something you can glean from this, is when things are emotional, when you're going through some emotional crisis, then God's word needs to be systematically studied. In other words, my conclusion here, because this is an emotional book, and you can't help but see that as we work our way through it, when things are emotional, God's word holds the solution, and it has to be systematically studied to get the solution. So even when we find ourselves emotionally shot, or we find ourselves even going through difficulties that we've brought on ourselves, we find ourselves under the strain of experiencing the negative chastisement and hand of God in disciplinary ways, we still need now to systematically and carefully study the Word of God. God's promises are written, and when God's promises are written to send His judgment, we better take those things seriously. I mean, His word is complete, A to Z or Aleph to Tau. Judgment precisely will be fulfilled exactly as He describes it. And I think, too, just the structure of this book forces a minister to have to say, well, I have to go through this systematically. I mean, why would God do it otherwise? I mean, why would God do this if He said, well, just jump around here, pick a verse that you like and talk about that? No way. No way. You see this structure, you're going, God says, no, this is the way I want you to handle this. You go right down through it in a systematic way. Now, the sixth question is, what does Lamentations teach? Well, certainly one of the main things this book teaches is that when God's people turn away from the Lord, and when God's people turn away from the Word of God, and they don't face up to it, they don't own it, they don't deal with things, God will send devastating, chastising judgments that will leave His people a pathetic mess. God can do that. See, the church has left this message out. The church has totally neglected this message with their love and grace and And you know what it's all about. God loves you the way you are. Well, Lamentations goes, no, it doesn't quite work that way. You get out of fellowship with God. You get out of a relationship with the Lord that is focused on Him and His Word, and God will at some point track His people down, and it will not be a happily ever after story here. In other words, God will send things against His own people that will cause them to mourn. He can cause our world to cave in. Don't kid yourself. He's God and He can do that. That's what this book is teaching God's people. And this is a book for God's people. It's not for the lost world. This is a book for God's people. Now, the seventh question is, what is an overview of the book of Lamentations? Well, the key point of the book is that Jerusalem and Judah had been hit with the devastating judgment of God. Frankly, He destroyed the city. Destroyed it because of the fact that they wouldn't face up to things. Now, the way it kind of breaks down is chapter 1 is a lament because Jerusalem is totally destroyed. We'll see that as we go through that next week. Chapter 2 is a lament concerning God's anger and wrath against His own people. Chapter 3 is a lament because God caused horrible events to occur because He was angry. Chapter 4 is a lament concerning the suffering and ruin God's judgment caused, and chapter 5 is a lament for the pitiable condition that asks God for any hope. Now, one thing you're going to see when we go through this book is that prayer, your own personal prayer, is a key to you getting out of trouble, and me too. Personal private prayer is a critical key to us getting out of trouble. In fact, chapter 5, the whole chapter is a prayer. But you'll find prayer. Write these references down. I'm not going to take you to them tonight. But just the prayers in this book. You have chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. There's a prayer. Chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. Chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. Chapter 3, verses 55 to 66. And all of chapter 5. All of chapter 5. So let's say that you are a believer here tonight, and let's say you have wallowed in the mire and the muck and the sin, and you know full well that you're under the chastising hand of God. What are you going to do about it? Just persist in sin? That's a foolish thing to do. Nope. What this book will say is you go to God and pray. You ask Him for His mercy. You ask Him for His forgiveness. You ask Him for His grace. You face your sin, confess your sin, talk to God about it, turn from it, and He'll put joy back into your world. The things that He has caused to collapse in your world, He'll rebuild in your world. J. Vernon McGee said, Lamentations is a hymn of heartbreak, a psalm of sadness, a symphony of sorrow, and a story of sifting. Lamentations is the wailing wall of the Bible. You know, I read an interesting historical account in preparing this introduction to Lamentations, and it is said that many Jews, when they saw Rome destroy the temple in AD 70, actually pulled out a copy of Lamentations and had it read for comfort and help. And I look at that and I go, man, you apparently don't learn. You don't learn from it. Because if you really think that God was allowing your city to be destroyed because you people weren't right with Him, which is what Lamentations says, then why wouldn't you say, you know, maybe I need to go to God, get this thing turned around so we can get back into that sweet relationship again so that we can experience the blessings again. They still haven't done that. Here we are 2,000 years later, they still haven't done that. And it'll take the tribulation to take that nation finally into a situation where they actually realize what Lamentations has been communicating. A few years ago, there was a poll taken about the saddest song that's ever been sung. And here were the top songs they said were the saddest that ever been sung. Hank Williams, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today. Harry Chapin, Cats in a Cradle. Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. Those are sad songs, but I'll tell you what, they don't come close to Lamentations. Because Lamentations says, if God's people don't stay away from sin, their whole life is going to end up a sad song. And God will see to it. It'll come directly from his hand. See, that's why it's so important to study a book like Lamentations, for God's people to realize that. But if you are here tonight and you think that you are sad and you're in a sad state and you are under the hand of God because of your own sin, then I take you to Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. What grace is offered to the people of God who are willing to do that? Well, that's our introduction to Lamentations. Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we'll get into the text proper. Thank you for coming. Drive careful. Good night. The Lord bless you.